Title: One Knob Performance Macros with Live 12 Stock Packs Advanced. Alright, in this lesson we're going to build something that feels almost unfair for drum and bass. 3 One Knob Performance Macros that let you automate and perform complex transitions with basically 3 automation lanes total. And this is a very DNB mindset. Movement is everything, not random movement, not wiggle some knobs and hope. I mean controlled energy management across 64, 96, 128 bars. Tension into drops, controlled chaos in fills, and that tight, forward, engineered feeling even when the track is doing a lot. We're staying stock, Ableton Live 12 stock devices, and stock packs for sounds and kits. And the advanced part here is how we stage the macro ranges so the knob feels musical, how we do inversions so one knob can push and clean at the same time, and how we keep gain structure stable so the macro changes texture more than loudness. Here's the goal. You're building 3 performance racks, each with one main macro. Bass rack, a knob called Rage, drum rack or drum bus, a knob called Push, FX bus, a knob called Space. And each one has a one-sentence job. Rage means more forward and more harmonic density, without widening or booming. Push means more perceived impact, without turning hats into sandpaper. Bass means more depth, tail, and width, without pushing low mids or messing the sub. Keep those sentences in your head while you map. If you can't explain what the macro does in one sentence, it's probably not going to feel performable. Part 1. Session prep. Set tempo to 172 to 175 BPM. That's home base for a lot of modern DNB. Set up a simple arrangement target in your head. For now, think 64 bars, 16 intro, 16 build, 16 drop, 16 variation. You can expand to 96 later. Create a bass track, MIDI or audio depending on your source. Create drums with a drum rack. Then create either a drum bus track, like a group or a separate audio track for processing, and an FX or Atmos track. Then add return tracks. You want at least A as a short reverb, B as a dub delay, and optionally C as a parallel smash return. Even if we do some of this inside racks, returns are still useful, because DNB thrives on controlled sends and throws. And here's a pro workflow tip. Group your drums into a drums group, and group your bass into a bass group. You can macro at the sound level and at the bus level. And that is exactly where one knob starts to feel like a real performance system. Cool, let's build the bass macro first. Bass rack, Rage. You can do this with a Wavetable bass, or with an audio resample chain. I'll describe it like Wavetable, because it's stock and fast, but the rack concept applies either way. On a MIDI track, load Wavetable. Start simple. Oscillator on a saw-type wave. Oscillator B on a square. Lower the level so it's just adding body. Unison 2 to 4 voices, but keep it small. You do not want the low end wide. If you want a sub, either use Wavetable's sub carefully or layer a separate sine track. Just keep the sub stable and mono. Program a rolling pattern around F1 to G1, short notes, with occasional ties for bounce. You want the groove doing some work before the processing even starts. Now, on the bass track, drop an audio effect rack. Inside the rack, in this order, add auto filter, saturator, roar if you have Live 12, otherwise overdrive, then glue compressor, then EQ8, then utility. Now show macros and create macro 1. Name it Rage. Color it something aggressive, if you like, because you're going to look at these knobs a lot. Now mapping time. Hit map. On auto filter, set it to LP24. Map frequency from about 250 Hz up to about 4.5 kHz. That means low Rage is muffled weight. High Rage opens into aggression. Map resonance from roughly 0.8 to 1.4, but keep it subtle. Too much resonance is a laser beam in the wrong place. On saturator, choose soft sine or analog clip. Map drive from 2 dB up to 8 dB. Turn soft clip on. And here is your first gain structure move. Optionally map saturator output from 0 down to about minus 3 dB as drive increases. That's the difference between a macro that feels pro versus a macro that just gets louder and lies to you. On roar, pick a neutral starting preset. Map drive from maybe 5% up to 25%. If you're using overdrive instead, map drive from 10% up to 35%, and map tone from around 4.5 kHz to 9 kHz. The idea is, more Rage means more harmonic content, not just more sub and not just more volume. Now the glue compressor. keep it musical, attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 4 to 1, map threshold from about minus 8 down to minus 18, more rage, lower threshold, more density, but do not use makeup gain as the excitement, keep makeup conservative or off, and let the texture change be the payoff. AQ8, put a high shelf around 4 to 6 kHz, map that shelf gain from 0 to plus 3 dB, also put a low cut around 30 hc, fixed, not mapped. That's just your safety belt. Utility. Map width from 100% down to 80% as rage increases. Yes, narrower. Because the more aggressive your bass gets, the more you want it to hit forward and translate in mono in a club. If you want extra control, also map utility gain from 0 down to about minus 2 dB as rage rises. Again, texture over loudness. Now stop mapping for a second and do the advanced part. Macro staging. Open macro mappings and don't just accept the full range. Your knob needs to behave like a scene fader, not like a chaos switch. Here's the three-zone test. Sweep the knob and stop at about 20%. It should be clearly different but still mix safe. Stop at about 60%. It should feel like drop energy. Stop at 90 to 100. That should be special use, like fills and peaks, not your default. If 20% already sounds overcooked, your ranges are too wide. Tighten them. If 60% doesn't feel exciting, widen the right parameters a little, but keep the gain compensation. And one more advanced trick. Mapping polarity. This is where one knob gets smart. As rage increases, consider reducing low-mid buildup. In EQ8, add a bell around 250 to 400 Hz and invert it. At low rage, maybe 0 dB, and at high rage, maybe minus 1 to minus 3 dB. That means the bass gets more aggressive, while also staying cleaner in the boxy area. That's very engineered DNB. Also consider harmonic focus. Add a narrowish bell around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz and map it slightly up with rage, like plus 0.5 to plus 2 dB. That makes the bass read on small speakers without needing fizzy highs. If you want to get really serious with roar, do a pseudo multiband approach. Create two chains in the audio effect rack. Low chain. Low pass around 120 to 180 Hz. Minimal distortion. Mid/high chain. High pass around 120 to 180 Hz. And put roar there. Then map the macro so it increases distortion mostly on the mid/high chain. Your sub stays solid. Your aggression rises. That's the holy grail. Okay. Using rage in the arrangement. Intro. Keep rage around 10 to 25%. Build. Ramp to 40 to 60. Drop. Automate 70 to 90 for main phrases, and spike to 100 on fills. And here's an arrangement cheat code. Contrast. Right before the drop, do a tiny dip, like a quarter bar or half bar, where rage backs off slightly, then slam it up on bar 1. That micro contrast reads as impact, even if your peaks don't change much. Next. Drums macro. Push. Load a drum rack from the browser. Use anything DNB or jungle adjacent from stock packs or core library kits. Build a classic pattern. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. Add ghost notes, shuffled hats, maybe a little swing. The groove matters because push is going to amplify what's already there. Now on the drums group or the drum rack track, add an auto effect rack. Inside it, add drum bus, then transient shaper, then saturator, then glue compressor. Then EQ8, create macro 1 and name it push. Mapping time, drum bus, map drive from 0 to 20, map crunch from 0 to about 30%, map boom from 0 to 15%, careful, because DNB low end gets huge fast. Set boom frequency around 50 to 60 Hz to match your kick region. Transient shaper, map attack from 0 to plus 35%, map sustain from 0 down to minus 15%, that means as you push, you get more snap and less tail, so it tightens instead of smearing. Saturator, map drive from 0 to 5 dB, soft clip-on. Glue compressor, map threshold from minus 4 down to minus 12. Keep attack around 10 milliseconds so the snare or transient still cracks through. A super fast attack will make your snare disappear in the exact moment you're trying to add impact. EQ8, add a high shelf around 8 to 10 kHz. Map it from 0 up to plus 2.5 dB. That's air bite, but controlled. Now, a stability note. If push makes drums feel harsh, it's usually the hats. So don't be afraid to tighten the top shelf range, or even add a dynamic-ish approach by keeping the EQ move smaller and letting transient and saturation do the excitement. Another advanced option. Put a limiter at the end of the chain with a fixed ceiling, and map a tiny amount of limiter gain up with push. Not a lot, just enough to increase perceived density on hits, without destroying the groove via compression alone. Using push in the arrangement. Key push lower during super busy hat sections. Automate push up for snare fills for the first two bars of the drop, and for 8-bar energy lifts. And a really DNB move. Do a 1-beat push spike right before a stop, a fake out, or a tape stop style edit. It makes the moment feel intentional and produced. Third rack, effects macro, bass. This is your wash, your width, your throws, but it must not wreck the low end. That's the rule. Create an FX group track or build this as a return rack. I like a group because it feels like a controllable atmosphere bus. Add an audio effect rack. Inside, EQ8 first for cleanup, then hybrid reverb, then echo, then auto filter, then utility. Create macro 1 and name it space. Now mapping. EQ8 first. Put a high pass around 150 Hz. 12 or 24 dB per octave and do not map it. Fixed, non-negotiable. That's what keeps your macro from flooding low mids and stepping on the bass. Hybrid reverb. Use algo if you want safer big moves. Map dry slash wet from 5% to 35%. Map decay from about 1.2 seconds up to 6.5. Map size from 25% to 70%. And here's a clarity cheat code. Map pre-delay from about 5 milliseconds up to 35 milliseconds as space increases. That makes the reverb feel bigger while keeping the dry transient readable. Perfect for snare throws. Echo, set time to 1/8 or 1/4 sync. Map dry slash wet from 0 to 25%. Map feedback from 10 to 45%. Map the filter frequency so higher space makes repeats a bit brighter, but don't let it go into piercing territory. Auto filter. You can use this like a brightness gate. Map frequency from 6 kHz up to 18 kHz for more space equals more air. Or invert it for darker DNB. More space equals darker and smokier. That's a vibe choice, and it's powerful. Utility. Map width from 100 up to 160%, but only because we already cut lows before. Optional. Map utility gain from 0 down to minus 3 dB as space rises, because space can feel louder even when it's not and you want consistent headroom. And a fun stock-only add-on. Noise risers that follow space. Put an operator on a separate track with a noise source, or use a noise sample. High pass it aggressively. Then map its filter opening and reverb send amount to space. Now space doesn't just add reverb, it creates lift. Using space in the arrangement. Automate space up during breakdowns and collapse it hard at the drop for impact. And for DNB phrasing, use fast 1 or 2 beat spikes for snare throws, especially on the second snare of a phrase. That tiny throw makes the groove feel like it's answering itself. Now, making this performable, like an instrument. First, name and color your macros clearly. Rage, push, space. Then rename your automation lanes with intent. For example, rage, phrase energy, push, impact, bass, depth. This audio version is shortened for playback.